You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I have a fabulous episode from another one of my great friends, and you guys have seen him on the podcast before, Dr. Mark Murphy. And we're going to be talking about one of the hottest topics, if not the single hottest topic in all of dentistry, which is sleep medicine. And you know this, airway has turned everything upside down or helped us reclarify. Even 35 years of treatment planning has been turned on its head due to this thing called airway breathing sleep medicine. Now, I love this guy. Now, you guys have seen this before.
And this guy loves you.
That's very nice of you to say, but I always like to introduce you the way I like to introduce you. You're one of my favorite people in all dentistry. You've always taken I don't know why you take a liking into a guy who has less hair than you, not nearly as good looking, and not nearly as intelligent, but at every meeting, you know, at the Pankey Institute, I'll tell this story till the days, like I didn't really know you, and we stayed in the condos, you made me sleep on the couch or whatever, and then in the future we would meet up at dental meetings and you got me involved in the Oakley backpacks, and then I because I wanted to be you in some way, and then I just always and you still have the backpack, look at that, you still got it, and that's called, is that the kitchen sink? That's the kitchen sink. Oh my gosh, I ripped a hole in mine. I told them about it, they sent me a new one. You know, so it's
Flash
awesome.
Company.
Yeah. Now I know who you are. A lot of people that have listened. I've had people actually listen to the podcast and then invite you to their office and say, show me how to implement this. And I'm just telling you guys, if you're listening or watching, this is one of the greatest people in all of dentistry. And if you're thinking about getting into sleep medicine, don't. Just do it. And so I always like to have, you know, Murph, we've got a lot of students listening, a lot of young dentists. Now, I want people to know who is Dr. Mark Murphy before we get into this very important topic. So who are you?
So I am a dentist who probably about, you know, 15, 16 years ago started drifting away from the traditional practice of dentistry onto the teaching, lecturing, consulting side, doing more dental sleep medicine, TMD, et cetera, but a lot of teaching. As you know, we've been at so many meetings together, lecturing alongside each other in different rooms at the same time. And so my world has kind of evolved. If I could have said that I planned it and did all that, you planned your life and that turned out that way. Mine kind of happened to me and I ran with it. But the last 5 or 6 years, I've been spending my full-time roles with a company called Persona Sleep Technologies. I'm their lead clinical faculty. So I help them in education, product development, marketing. We do research, IRBs, you know, the same kind of things you did for all the COVID vaccines and things like that are actually IRBs, clinical trials. I run those for the company. So I do a lot of fun stuff with them. And alongside that, they let me practice part-time in Rochester Hills, Michigan, doing dental sleep medicine. So one day a week, I get to do dental sleep medicine in my little neighborhood office here. I rent space from the guy that bought my practice and bought my building. And then once a month, I go down to the dental school and teach the orthodontic residents dental sleep medicine. We've got a program down there that I started at the University of Detroit Mercy. So that's kind of cool. I get a little bit of time with the D3s. And so I'm living the dream. I'm old enough to be almost your father. I'm old enough to be your father for God's sakes. That's why I like you, because you'd be a bald son of mine instead of a bald colleague. And but I'm living a dream because I'm teaching, I'm lecturing. I get to stay home a little bit more than I used to when you and I were both on the road so hard and heavy pre-COVID and all that. So this is good.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, I also want to dig a deep into the why here, too, because this whole sleep medicine thing, it's not a fad. It's not like going to flash and go. And you are on the metric side of it. You're behind the scenes. You're watching it explode. So talk about the why of it and then the early adopter aspect of it and how dentists have classically seen things like this come our way. And we go, nah, 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 or yes, yes, yes. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the why's huge. There's a billion people worldwide, right? 20 to 25% of the U.S. population, 40 to 50 million Americans have obstructive sleep apnea. What's counter to that thought is 40 to 50 million have obstructive sleep apnea, but only 10, maybe 15% have ever been diagnosed. So 85% of that population that I just talked about have never been told they had obstructive sleep apnea. They think it's snoring. Snoring does not mean sleep apnea, but they go together very much, very frequently, most of the time. So the why is we have so many people affected by that. The other is you talk about how airway has turned everything on its side. There's no question about that. Airway is so critical. And yet, if you think back, this is mostly dentists listening, I'm sure, and dental team members and hygienists and everybody like that. You think back to your training, you learned the six essential elements. And none of them was oxygen. You can't live 3 minutes without it. And so it's a very essential element. And we didn't know and understand much about sleep when the older generation like me, I'm 65, right, and we were learning about physiology. We didn't learn much about sleep. We still don't know a lot, but we know a lot more than we did. And sleep is critical to our overall health. They're tying poor sleep to things like dementia, cardiovascular disease, stroke, arrhythmias, diabetes, depression. We could go on. It doesn't start or cause all those diseases. Maybe the only disease it's actually tied to from a causal standpoint might be arrhythmias, but it makes every one of those things on that list worse, so that you're 23 times more likely to have a heart attack, 4 times more likely to have a stroke, 5 times more likely to die of COVID if you've got obstructive sleep apnea. So the why is it's huge. It's here to stay. Oh, like, let's see, like implants. Like implants weren't a fad. They were here to stay because edentulism is a problem. And when people get a couple nickels that they can rub together, they would like a solution that feels better than a denture.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you guys to think about this too. I personally believe this, and tell me if you agree, there's never been a better time to be a dentist. I mean, when we talk about people that fix teeth or people that change lives. And so whether you like the idea of airway or not, I mean, this is a wonderful way to understand how the dentist or your practice or just the conversation can be more important. But I'll introduce this right away, Mark. There's the word complex comes into play here. Like this isn't like linear and easy and there's a built-in system. There's a lot of complexity to this component in dental, especially if I'm a GP, you know? So what do you think?
Totally agree. So think about what you just said. There's a lot of complexity built into it, especially if you're a GP, correct? Not the doing, but everything that's wrapped around it. When you say to me, is it hard to make a device? No, you take impressions, you take a bite, you send it off. Is it hard to deliver the device? No, we deliver bite splints all the time that are 10 times harder to adjust and balance the occlusion on. Then we literally slap these uppers, slap these lowers, and they close together. It's magic. And we've got this mandible in a protrusive position. So we're not worried about occlusal contacts and surfaces. We're not treating TMD. So the doing is easy, but it's still very complex. How can that be? Well, because everything wrapped around it, talking to physicians, documentation, billing, all of that, making a decision about what type of device, making sure we minimize side effects, all of that wraps this very easy to do thing in a nutshell, if you will, that's very complex. The good news is today, that nutshell has gotten easier. There are more companies that are around to assist you with whether it's billing or documentation. There's more of the right kinds of devices that are precision in nature that have a lot fewer side effects with smaller and lower dose. So there's a lot of things that has made the superstructure around this a lot easier. Is it easy? Well, I'm not going to go that far, but it's easier, a lot easier. So that's why I think this is the best. And you said it's the best time in the world to be a dentist. Yeah, why? Because we've got so much more technology and software and things like that that help us do what we do better. And if we utilize those, we can be so super successful. Well, the same comes into play when we think about dental sleep medicine.
Yeah. And so you talked about the nutshell. Let me talk about the elephant that's eating all these nutshells and causing the problem. Now, I don't even know why I said it's
the elephant in the room. Or
it's the elephant. It's the elephant in the room. You know where I'm going with this. But like, this is not why we do it, but it is also one of the challenges is that people go, I like this. I like what you're saying, but you know what? I don't know how to get paid doing that. Right. I want to control the billing. Like, how in the world? Because, you know, dentists aren't short on control wishes. You know, they're control freaks. So this kind of puts them on their edge. And so, and Mark, that is the elephant in the room. Everybody that I talk to, you know, you got sleep camps now, which happens when everybody gets opinionated about things. Sure. But among the camps, you still have the same dialogue, which is, okay, listen, I totally understand, but I have no idea how you would make part of the business part of this work. Do you hear that at all?
I hear that. And then when I offer my solution to that, and there's a couple different pathways in that solution, and you mentioned it, the control issue comes up. If we have to control the billing process, if we have to control who's doing the billing, how they're doing the billing, the communication during the billing, you might as well just screen patients like the ADA asks you to do and send them to somebody else, because you're never going to be successful. But if you can find a way to let go of that control feature, and we're, so many of us in dentistry are high J's when we look at a Myers-Briggs. I mean, there's no question about it. So it is a difficult thing. It's difficult for me, but I pay, and these numbers are going to be variable around the country, but they're ballparky going to be close. I pay $49 plus 8% per claim. Mm. Now, $49, say $50 plus 8% per claim, and I get paid almost 100% of the time what I'm expecting or hoping to get paid as a reimbursement for my oral appliances. Right. That's not what I bill, because there's a stupid, silly little game you got to play in medicine. It's not really unlike dentistry, but in medicine, you bill, you get a shoulder surgery done, you see the billing and it says, oh my gosh, it was $26,000. And then you see what the hospital and the doctor and the anesthesiologist got paid, and it's $16,500. Mm-hmm. And you go, where'd that other, you know, $9,000 or $10,000 go? Well, that's the participating fee thing. And just like we do in dentistry, but now we're looking at about 2X to half X. So we're looking from 2X to whatever you end up getting. But you just have to suck it up and say, I'm going to sign on with one of the good billing companies. There are a bunch of them out there. I could list them all off. It's not important. There's 6 or 7 or 8 billing companies. I'd be happy to work with any one of them. And they charge all around $50 a claim and 8%.
Wow.
You just got to pay that fee. But if you're going to get, think of this. If somebody said to you, you don't know how to bill ortho, or you don't know how to bill implants, and those are big numbers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, $2,000 or $3,000 a pop, $4,000 a pop. But you don't know how to do that. And if you try to figure it out, I promise you, you'll shoot yourself in the head with a dull, blunt instrument. So just give me $49 and 8%, and I'll do that for you. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Because so otherwise, you're not going to be paid.
Yeah. Now, the first half of this, you guys are listening. We're going to deal with the complexities, and then Mark's going to help us out of the mud. And I'm going to introduce one more problem. No, because that's what you sure. That's what you do. You constantly.
It is money. The billing, now for me, the billing is super easy because it's inside our software.
Right.
And my daughter, who runs my sleep practice, Kim, she does everything about it. And so, you know, everything's in the software. The billing company pulls that out of our software, sends in the claim. We get paid, and then we get a direct deposit check. Or once in a while, they still send us a snail mail check. Or once in a while, the check goes to the patient.
Right.
And then they give it to us. Life goes on. They're beautiful reimbursements.
Yeah. Now, one other thing too, this is, you guys have seen this if you've been paying attention at all, it's the physician conversation. So, which always lends itself to a little complexity, not only in philosophy, but in methodology. So help us with that complexity.
So Picture that you've got two pathways when you look at one of your own patients and you say, this patient looks like they have sleep apnea and they should get tested. I can either, in all but about 4 or 5 states, I can order the sleep test. I cannot read it and interpret it. I can read it, but I can't interpret it. I can't issue a diagnosis. I can't order up an oral appliance. Oh, that always has to be done by a physician. But I can order the starting of the ball to roll down the hill. Or I can send it to my local sleep physician. Those are my choices. I can order the sleep test, and then a doc in the box who's sitting in an office somewhere, God knows where in the country, but they're licensed in your state, reads and interprets the sleep test, writes a diagnosis, and writes you a prescription. That's fine. Doesn't endear you to your local physicians at all, but it's a way to get the ball rolling in your own practice. And I do that about half the time. The other half of the time, I send them to my local physicians, who are sleep physicians, and they do the testing. And if they're mild or moderate, they send them back to me. And if they're severe, they send them for a CPAP. And we've all agreed to those kinds of protocols and standard operating procedures. If you went back just 5 years ago, if you found one out of 100 physicians who was favorable towards oral appliance therapy, grab on and go find another one.
Right.
Today, if you went looking at that same 100 physicians, you'd find 15 or 20. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still a 1 out of 5 proposition. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like 50% of the time physicians are favorable. But now, 1 out of 4, 1 out of 5 physicians are favorable towards oral appliances when the patient can't or won't wear a CPAP or is mild or moderate.
Yeah.
And my physician circle has become extremely positive towards oral appliances because they see better results. Because my physicians understand, and so will yours, that using better devices yields, let me think, better results. And with better results, better patient compliance and adherence, better results, devices don't look like crap 2 years down the road. Patients aren't complaining about how they feel or they're not delaminating. If we use a better device, our patients become are very enthralled with us. They become trusting of us. They're impressed by us and they love our results.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it's all gravy. Now, does that mean 100% of my physicians think that this is fantastic stuff? No. But right. If I was starting with a 1 out of 5 proposition, I am probably at 50 or 60 or 70% of the physicians I talk to understand or know that because of the type of therapy we're doing, that they can trust that more. And yeah. So that's a big shift, big shift.
Yeah.
We didn't have that 5 years ago.
No, and those are starting odds. And, you know, I'm going to highly recommend, if you guys were paying attention a little while back, Murph did an entire series, and it is fantastic, like absolutely fantastic. And you don't have to know it all. You can just start. And one of the things you said in the series that I absolutely love is you can't learn how to swim by watching a video. Do you know what I mean?
Or reading the book.
You actually have to stand on the edge of the pool and you got to jump in. And by jumping in, you're going to learn all these things and they'll be a lot more relevant in this whole process. Now, if I'm a classically trained dentist, I've been with you, Murph. We've been through the Pankey Institute. We talk about these pillars, you know, the four pillars, the five. Now, you're messing with my brain. Come on, man. I've been taking too much education and now you're going to throw this complexity right in the middle, right on top of everything. Because if we do all these four pillars correctly and we still can't breathe, what good have we done? Everybody's been talking about that. Help me through that puzzle.
So the four pillars are pretty straightforward. In your practice, you've got a screen, you've got a test, you've got a treat, and then you've got a bill and documentation. So you got four different things that you've got to become, or you've got to become adept at, or you've got to outsource.
Right.
Screening, that's one-on-one conversations with your patients. That's looking at patients, knowing their health history, knowing what they look like, size, shape, age, et cetera, and going, you probably have sleep apnea. Let's get you tested. Testing, that's the two pathways I talked about. Send them to one of the local physicians that you work with, or go to one of these doc-in-the-box kind of organizations, just like the billing companies. There's 3 or 4 or 5 of those. Those didn't exist 5 years ago. So we didn't have these great devices. We didn't have these great testing partners. Billing was up in the air back then. But now I can list you off 8 billing companies, 8 software companies, 8 testing companies. Easy. You just have to pick a partner and go with it. And they all cost about the same. They're all about the same in terms of quality and easy to work with. And then you got to treat the patient. And that's perhaps still could be a little tricky notch. The doing of that, I told you, is easy. And especially easy today because today we've got easier to work with devices that you don't have to advance the mandible as far, so you get less of the difficulty of getting the bite back. The side effects have all been controlled.
Yeah.
And so it's much safer, easier, much more effective to be able to treat those patients today than it has ever been. We're getting higher efficacy than we did with the old handmade devices, all the old style devices, the newer iterative advancement devices, the new, you know, artificial intelligent design, robotic manufacturing devices are giving us tremendous advantages. And now they've got some materials that even make it easier to seat and hard traditional acrylic. These little slightly flexible devices make it easier to seat. So wait a minute, screening, that's my own responsibility. Testing, I got to send them either locally or send them to a doc in a box. And then treating, that's gotten easier too. Well, billing, once again, just like with the testing and software, you got to pick a partner and pay the fee. So when you look at those four pillars, I think we've got it simplified enough that it's easier again. It's less complex. Now the complexity is in choosing which partner I want for a billing partner, or choosing which software I want to use, or choosing which device I want to use. But that's a lot easier than saying, I'm going to struggle to figure this out and not get paid.
Right. And then
the manageable.
Yeah. Now help me through the struggle that I'm already thinking about if I've got Dentrix or Eaglesoft. Listen, we don't even use Dentrix the way it's supposed to be used.
No, totally.
And now you're going to introduce a billing. Without saying names, or you don't have to, but like, give us a sense of what these softwares do, because it's not like we're just going to give it to you. You're going to read a whole bunch of manuals and figure it out. It's actually very user-friendly now, isn't it?
Yeah. So you can't use Dentrix or Eaglesoft or any of the traditional dental practice management software platforms for dental sleep. And the reason you can't is they're not set up in what's called a SOAP note orientation. In all of the softwares, and I use one called DS3, Guy Yatros, you know Guy from Pankey mm-hmm. Institute. So Guy teaches down there with me and Steve Carstensen and the rest of the crew down there in that sleep course. So Guy's got a software company and he's got a billing company called Four Pillar. I actually use this company, but don't hear that as a big ad for him. He's a good guy. It's a good company. You'd be happy to be with him. But DS3, Nearman, Pristine, all those good companies.
Right.
His software platform is all templated. So like today, I did a patient consultation. I had to put in 52-year-old female referred by and the doctor's name. The rest of it's filled in. Then I put in her Epworth Sleepiness Scale number, and that all came from the software. And then I put in what her next visit was supposed to be, and that we were referring her, in fact, to sleeptest.com to get a sleep test done. I probably typed 25 characters. It took me 15 seconds,
right?
20 seconds, and I pressed sign and save, and that will generate a middle-sized page of paper set of SOAP notes based on the software that she's already filled out when the insurance company or the physician asks for it, and that's going to happen. So you have to have the right orientation, the right templates, and then the software allows you to just pull from these other places and puts it all into this document for you automatically. Your Dentrix and Eaglesoft will not do that. So you need a third-party software from one of these companies. And so you've got it's $300-$400 a month. I mean, that's probably what it costs. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
For a software license with them, tack that onto the billing partner, and that's your cost of getting an adult sleep license. Yeah.
That's awesome. And another link that's established if I've been practicing for 10 years is like, I don't know how I'm going to do anything unless I'm creating tooth dust or whatever. This, and we're having fun here, guys. So just don't take this the wrong way.
Sure.
I mean, you talk about telemedicine. You talk about, this is a wonderful way to create value for other people without having to pick up a handpiece or always be linked to the chair side. And you were talking about last time, like you can actually, you could make a living and value without using your hand so much and more using your brain away from the chair. Is that correct?
100%. You know, the amount of patient interaction time is totally dependent on how much you want to do in this process.
Right.
You can delegate almost all of the time, effort, and energy to your auxiliary staff and team just by properly training them. The other thing that's interesting about dental sleep medicine is if you say to yourself, well, this sounds interesting, Mark, and I'd like to get into it, but you know, you're talking about a software cost, you're talking about a billing cost, and you know, and how much am I gonna make for these devices? Well, if you look at the ADA averages, not the ACT Dental Consulting client averages, because yours are gonna be much higher, but if you looked at the ADA average, how's that little plug for ACT?
I like that, that was really nice.
Thank you. So if you look at the average ADA dentist, they're billing out, you know, about $330, $340 an hour, $450 if you include hygiene. Mm-hmm. The average dental sleep practice is billing 4 to 5 times that per hour.
Wow.
Based on their reimbursements and based on the amount of time they spend in a consultation and then an exam, impressions, bite registration, delivery, and then follow-up visits. They put about 90 minutes in, and they do between 4.5 and 5 times the average productivity of the average ADA dentist. And that's using the ADA stats.
Wow.
I'm not making those numbers up.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now let's talk about the device side of things too, mm-hmm. you know, which help me understand, if I'm a young dentist, what does this look like? Like, because I need to see the technical piece of this. Like, is this easy? Yeah. And so take me inside the brain of a dentist and when you start talking about devices.
So I'm going to tell a story about implants first, because I think the implant parallel or the Invisalign parallel would be another good one. When you think about somebody who said, I want to get into implants mm-hmm. or I want to get into ortho, they realized, and this is going back 20 years ago, they realized 20 and 25 years ago, wow, that takes a lot of training. because there's a lot of parts, there's a lot of pieces, there's a lot of protocol. Each system's going to be a little bit different, wires, loops, brackets, all that, or each kind of an implant system and screw, and what kind of a driver you need, and how many newton centimeters you're going to tighten up. There was a tremendous amount of parts and pieces you had to inventory, track, and be knowledgeable about. Now, today, if you're a restorative dentist and implants come along, you point to the edential space, your surgeon sticks an implant in, and then they put a scan body on with a number on it that tells them exactly how to make the crown you're going to put. It's gotten so ridiculously simple that we should be charging less for those crowns, shouldn't we, rather than the normal fee. But we don't. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Invisalign. Now I can take excellent, exquisite upper and lower impressions, send them off, and they come back with this beautiful series of 12 or 18 or 20 trays, aligners, to move things around. I don't have to do all the thinking, the adjusting, how tight the wire. It's still not easy, but it's a lot easier. And I think that's where I see dental sleep medicine. Today, with precision devices, there's 150 plus, 81 Medicare approved, 150 FDA approved devices out there that you could choose from.
Wow.
They all fall into a couple or three different categories, but almost all of them, except for a handful, are old style, legacy, handmade parts and pieces, non-precision devices that delaminate, that stain, that have to be advanced more, that have more side effects, that are bulkier, harder to use, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Today, in the precision manufacturing side, and I'm gonna lean on the company I work for, Presomnus, but we're one of the leaders in that. Mm-hmm. At Presomnus, we make precision devices that the bite you took, that's where it comes back, within a half millimeter, within 0.3 millimeter. Nobody else does that. They're easy to clean because they're milled out of pucks of polymethylmethacrylate or MG6 technology material. They're smaller, so the dose and the advancement is less. There's no moving parts. Well, we can make one with a Herbst arm so that there's a metal arm that connects the upper and lower, and you need that for Medicare. But most of the time, I use these devices where you get a series of four or five and you trade out the trays to advance the mandible. No moving parts, nothing to break, nothing to delaminate, a little bit of flexibility to them. Super easy to use. They're effective. They're easier to use. They're safer to use. So we're seeing the nuts and bolts part kind of go the way implants and orthodontics have gone, that technology caught up with what we were trying to do by hand. Yeah. And so that's been remarkable. So there's never been a better time to do this in your practice because you got so many billing choices, you got so many software choices, reimbursements are great from the payers, physicians are starting to trust this. And oh, by the way, technically,
I'm having trouble hearing you.
My phone's talking to me now. So my watch thought I was talking to Siri. I must have said something that sounded like Siri or something. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
So the same thing happens when I say Alexa's name, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. She'll tell me what the last announcement was or something. So it's never been easier because all those parts and pieces are starting to come together in such a way that if I was a dentist 20 years ago getting into ortho, I had to go take a lot of classes, figure stuff out. And so you saw this, you mentioned it earlier, saw these early adopters go and do that. But you didn't see the majority of dentists doing that till it became easier, safer, and more effective. And that's where we're at with dental sleep medicine. So now the vast majority is starting to come over, and we're seeing literally thousands of dentists starting to get trained every year in how to do dental sleep medicine.
Right.
And that's easy.
But go back to that. When you say safe, effective, easy, you got to elaborate a little bit on that. You just can't, like, how easy for me if
so
I'm a dentist?
If I were saying that easy on a scale of 0 to 10,
okay,
and I thought about implants or ortho, I would say that when I first got out of dental school, and that was a long time ago, or when somebody got out of dental school 15, 20 years ago, implants and orthodontics were hard, like 9 or 10 hard, 8 or 9 or 10 hard. They were hard, okay? Today, you'd say it's 2 or 3, 4 at the most. It's not even a 5 or 6. You know, in Invisalign, Align Technology aligners has made orthodontics predictable. And so the challenge is, and why it's not 100% easy, but it's so much easier, is you still have to pick the right case.
Yeah,
okay?
You
still have to pick the right case. And if you pick a skeletal case that really needed surgery, you're not going to solve that orthodontically with all the aligners in the world. Oh, the good news is the folks down in Costa Rica, when they look at your models you send, will tell you that. Implants, you can't put implants where there isn't bone. You have to graft bone first. You have to do a sinus lift, all kinds of procedures they've got nowadays. I've got one that's healing up right now that they've packed bone in. I had an endodontically treated tooth from my youth that broke off. So they took the tooth out, packed bone up the roots. That's solid as a rock now. We'll go stick a screw up there. We'll put a tooth on it and I'll be solid as can be. Thank God it's in the back. You can't see it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's become very predictable. And with CBCT scans and drill guides, almost anybody could place an implant. So easy. It's become easy because all I have to do is take impressions and a bite. And a bite in a little producer position that I have to learn how to do that is not hard to learn. And they'll send me back a device that's easy to deliver, easy to adjust, easy for the patient to keep clean. Much, much easier than any other time you've ever seen it in LC medicine. Safe. Yeah. Well, safe. The devices are smaller. There's no metal parts anymore with these iterative advancement devices. So they don't break as much. There's fewer side effects. I don't want to cause TMD. I don't want to cause bite changes. I don't want to cause pain. I don't want the patient to have problems. I want my physician to like all this. I don't want them to hear about this. So today, with the devices we have, these precision devices, we've got that. They're easy to use. They're safe to use. But what about effective? Well, I just submitted for publication a comparison between the average efficacy of legacy devices. And there's tons of studies in the literature. And they come up between, say, 50, 55. Let's give them, some of them show improvements to almost up to 60%. For Presomnus, we took a look at a large number, several hundred legacy devices. I think about 590, 595 of our devices precision milled, and the efficacy was about 74, 75%. That's 15 wow. points higher effectiveness, efficacy in those devices. Our new Evo material is coming out around 80 or 85. Mm-hmm. So wait a minute, we're seeing, think about it. Technology's gotten better. The materials have gotten better. The devices have gotten smaller. You'd expect the results to get better, and they have. So easy, yep. Safe, yeah. Way easier, way safer, and now even more effective. So effective now that we're going to really win the hearts of physicians, like they have in several foreign countries. We're going to have the hearts and the minds of physicians in the United States. At Presomnus, we've undertaken two studies. One's in Belgium with Olivier van der Wieken doing a frontline OSA therapy study where that would use oral appliances as a frontline therapy and compare it to CPAP and will win. The second one is a severe indication because to date, the AADSM and the AASM, the dental and medical bodies, agree for mild and moderate, patients should have a choice, but severe, they should get CPAP. Mm-hmm. Well, they're okay with Inspire, and we actually have better efficacy and a broader use case than Inspire, and we certainly cost less than that $50,000 surgical procedure, and we don't have the surgical codes of the surgical procedure. So we're applying for an FDA approval for a severe indication for Presomnus therapy. It won't apply to all devices, but it'll apply to the kinds of devices that we make. And so these are going to be big changes, again, making it even easier for physicians to come on board. So easy, safe, and effective, that's how we're making it that way.
Yeah, I love that. Now go back to that. When we overlap, let's take the dental circle world and the medical circle world. How are those overlapping? Like, what are they saying on that side about us from your perspective?
They think we're a bunch of rambunctious cowboys who don't pay attention to science and run willy-nilly doing whatever we want. Wow. And pretty much that's been the history of dental sleep medicine. Not the last 5 years. The last 5 years, we've got the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine that has acted as a governing body. And they're certifying dentists, very easy. It's not hard to become a qualified dentist. It's a little harder to become a diplomate. I'm a diplomate of the American Board of Dental Sleep Medicine. But to become qualified, it's having a little bit of a knowledge base, taking a long, hard weekend class, passing a test, and they'll give you a check mark and a blessing that says you're qualified to do dental sleep medicine.
Okay.
And they've kind of de facto become the dental group that oversees dental sleep medicine. There are other groups. Other associations, other subgroups, but I would say the ADSM really, really controls the educational component nowadays. So you can take a great class at Panky, you can take a great class in lots of other places, but you still probably want to end up taking a class with the ADSM and getting qualified as a dentist. Could you do it without that? Of course you could.
Yeah.
But I'd want to have that little check mark next to my name.
Oh, for sure.
So that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Now go. So let's do dental treatment planning 101 when you're a dentist. Okay. So sure. Dr. Mark Murphy has given us a treatment plan. We know the benefits of doing treatment. Now you're going to teach us the benefits of not doing treatment in the circumstances. So if I'm a dentist listening to the whole airway thing, like I totally get it. What are the circumstances if I'm a young dentist of not doing anything right now while everyone else early adopts? Like, is it, will I?
Great question.
So
Great question. I'd say there's three big risks to you. One, you should at least be screening your patients and referring them to someone else.
Right.
Because if you're not doing anything at all with airway today, you're going to hold yourself and your team liable potentially for malpractice claims. Because the ADA resolved, not yesterday, not last October, not a year ago, in 2017, 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, the ADA resolved that we should be screening for airway and sleep-related breathing disorders. That's not new stuff.
Right.
So someday, all the attorneys are saying, we're going to see a claim against the dentist who missed an opportunity to pick up on somebody having, just like we could have missed a periodontal diagnosis, we could have missed an endodontic treatment diagnosis, we could have missed impacted wisdom teeth diagnosis. So we're going to have a culpability for undiagnosed fill-in-the-blank disease, and in this case, it'll be airway. The second reason that a young dentist would want to do it is, I cannot imagine for a young dentist, any dentist, to not find incredible fulfillment
right.
for themselves and their team in helping people have better quality of life. Better quality of a smile, high five, that feels great. Getting somebody out of pain, back into function, high five, feels great. But man, when you get two people back together in the bed. So I wouldn't want a dentist to miss the opportunity to get the fulfillment in their heart for what they're doing. And then finally, if you tell me that your practice is so smoking busy, doing exactly the mix of procedures that you want, and you're making plenty of money, and you're not fighting with insurance and reimbursements and all of that stuff, fantastic. Kudos mm-hmm. to you for having developed, and you're probably an ACT client or a Panky dentist or Spear or Coist, you know,
right.
some great place. You've been out to LVI, you've learned all this super stuff, and you're applying it. But most of us practicing dentistry find some frustrations and some shortcomings. And so I'd hate to have you have to live with not having the fulfillment
right.
and then having the shortcomings of having to do what other people are telling you and making you do because you don't have control of your time. You don't have choice.
Right.
Something like this at 4 or 5 times the productivity per hour helps me have choice. Not just to making more money, Kirk. You know that. We've talked about this a million times. It's about Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is the Greek word for the measurement of time. So maybe I want to have more time because I can do a couple more crowns or I can see another sleep patient, I can make more money. But Kairos is the measurement of time that you and I find most appealing. And that's, what am I going to do with my time?
Right.
Am I going to get off early enough in the afternoon that I can go to my daughter's D1 sports game at UNC and get on a plane? Or am I going to make my grandkids soccer practice or something like that that I wanted to go see? So having the control over how much time I have to work to make the living I want to for myself and my family is an incredibly freeing thing. And I would not want a young dentist to miss those three things.
Yeah. And you know this because you introduced me to these types of people. Your favorite dentists are the ones that are always challenging what they know, you know, and they stay on the learning edge. So whether or not it's your core bread and butter, they love learning about it, love adding to the context of, you know, how they help people. And it keeps it
sure.
very exciting. The day that you turn the switch off and go, I've figured everything out, it's time to just do something else or maybe transition out of practice. But, so there's
and
a lot.
Kirk, what you said right there is important.
What?
You didn't say somebody had to be on the bleeding edge of something.
Right.
They could be on the leading edge of something. And so that's important because I don't want to be on the bleeding edge either.
No.
I don't get my nose bludgeoned trying to figure this out. There are some great people out there, friends of ours, that have been in dental sleep medicine far longer than me. They were the ones that really, they cut the path through the woods for us. And I don't want to be the last guy on the block either getting to this. So
yeah.
I want to be in the early adoption coming to majority kind of thing. I don't want to be the first. That's too tough. And I don't want to be the last. And that's what Dr. Panky used to say. Don't be the first to do something. Don't be the last either.
Right. It's like the guys that got into implants first. They were really on the bleeding edge and it was radical. And then there's a certain point where it became, whoa, this is an incredible opportunity to really help patients. And so I totally agree with you. And so what if I'm a dental student, Mark, or I'm just getting into practice? Like there's a lot of choices. Where do I start? Like lay out a path for me. Just tell me what to do. Where do I start to learn and implement this stuff?
So last Thursday, one of the D3 students from Detroit Mercy came out to spend the day at our office with us to see what dental sleep medicine looks like because they'd heard our lectures and they learned about it in class. They had some free time, so they came out and spent the day with us. And now that young lady, that young dentist wants to go into dental sleep medicine as part of her orthodontic curriculum. She wanted to meld ortho with dental sleep medicine. While you're a dental student, there isn't much you can do because either the school you're at does or doesn't have a dental sleep medicine program or capability.
Right.
But once you get out, I think joining something like the AADSM, the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, taking some of their courses, and even if you say, I'm never going to treat this, but I want to know enough about it that I can refer.
Right.
Great. Go get that. And then you say, no, I kind of like that. And I think I can make those devices. And I think I can manage those variables. Then you might dip your toe into it. And honestly, if you were going to do the occasional device where a patient walked into your practice and said, I've got an old device and it broke and I need a new one. So you did two or three devices a year. Then don't worry about signing up with a billing company and don't worry about and just charge people cash. And, you know, you're not going to do very many. But, you know, doing one a week. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that could be a couple $100,000 in additional revenue for your practice. That could be 50, 60, 70 people a year that you help have a better quality of life. So I think being open to the opportunities that you have as a young dentist when you're starting out, and it's a great thing to help you as a young dentist when you go out into practice, get busier as an associate.
For
now
sure.
You're an associate trying to get some of that gravy dentistry, and the doctor you're working for is keeping everything that's nice, and you're getting kids and cleanings and stuff like that, fillings, nothing too exciting. Well, if you can do something they can't do,
absolutely.
Ortho, endo, oral surgery, peds, or dental sleep medicine, you've got an opportunity to generate some real revenue for yourself. And again, it's not just about the money. It's also about the feel goods. It's about balancing out the warm fuzzies and the cash.
Absolutely. You become more valuable. Now, you say this, think medical, not dental. What the heck does that mean?
Do.
Tell me what that means.
You know, we think scarcity all the time, and we think that we have to talk to and convince patients, and we have to explain to them all the cost assignments associated with the dental procedure, what's going to be covered by the insurance, what the copay is going to be, how much is going to be their out-of-pocket expense. When you go to the physician, oversimplified, when you go to the physician and they say to you, hey, Kurt, today I'm going to draw some blood, we're going to get an x-ray. No patient says to their physician, well, how much is that going to cost?
Right.
What's my copayment? What's my deductible?
Yeah.
They just say, okay. So in medicine, there's this presumptive close. Every procedure has what's called a letter of medical necessity. Now think about that. If we had a letter of dental necessity, or if we had real insurance, and you and I've talked about this, dental insurance is not real insurance because it stops at $1,200 or $1,500.
Right.
And an insurance is defined as when a third party takes the risk for a catastrophic loss. There's nothing catastrophic about $1,200 or $1,500. If your car insurance stopped at $1,200 or $1,500 and you totaled your car, you choke that little Geico till his eyes popped out, right?
I mean, you'd
be so upset.
Yeah.
So think about it. Not real insurance. We use the wrong term. But when we get into medicine, always think the patient's going to move forward with treatment. The patient's going to figure it out. Patients will say to us, well, how much should I owe you today? No, we'll wait till we get all the dust settles. We'll wait till all the dust settles from your insurance, and then we'll bill you. And think about your own medical experience. You go to the doctor. You get stuff done. 2 months later, you get a bill for $182. And you're like, what did I get on bill for? You go, oh, yeah, I had that procedure done. This must be my co-payment, so you finally write the check. You've got to think medicine. Medicine assumes everybody's going to move forward with medically necessary treatment.
Yeah, if you guys made
life
it,
and death.
Yeah, that alone, it. Murph, I wish I could teach every dentist just to assume that people want to follow you. They love and trust you. You know, they'll let you know when they don't. They'll go, no, yeah. I'm good. But
yeah, make them ask. And when they ask the question, they're usually just asking, how does this work? So if they go, well, how much does it cost? They're really asking, you know, is this like dentistry? And you go, actually, this is covered in your medical insurance. And most of those patients go, okay. But honestly, 2 out of 10 don't ask how much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
They don't ask.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So, you know, I wish I could keep, I have more questions. We're going to probably have to break this up in a couple, but any last thoughts you have on this whole conversation, where we are now and why 2022 really should be the year to step into it? Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would say that now more than ever, it's easier to do. It's safer. It's more effective. Now more than ever, where we're facing the kind of staffing challenges we have, what a wonderful way to expand your capabilities and your production in your practice, doing meaningful things that also pay well, without needing a larger staff.
Right.
Now more than ever in our lives as dentists, do we have a more serious part of healthcare that we could be associated with?
Yeah.
And it is delightful to be able to do that, to help people have better lives. It is so fulfilling, so rewarding in so many ways, both spiritually as well as financially. There's just never been a better time to branch out into this kind of thing.
Amen, brother. Now I'm going to totally voluntold you because if I'm a dentist, can I reach out to you? Can I reach out to your company? Oh, totally. Like, can you help me? And now I already know the answer to this because, you're okay with people reaching out to you. I'm going to leave your email in the contact information. So if you're listening on Spotify or Stitcher, do me a favor, pull over first. Don't drive and do this, but we'll leave Mark's information down there and I can reach out to you and you'll help me at least answer some questions and all that kind of stuff.
Every time we do one of these, I get 10, 15, 20 emails, calls, things like that. People wanting to know more information. I can either direct them to somebody. Sometimes I can answer the question myself, whatever it takes. And I'm happy for that to be in the hundreds. It's all good.
Awesome, brother. I appreciate you so much. And if you've never seen Murph speak or you have a study club and you want somebody to speak and just, I swear you could talk about anything in dentistry and make it enjoyable, funny, entertaining. And it is awesome stuff. It's like watching one of the very best. So thank you, brother. Thanks for being on. Check it out.
Coming from you, that means a lot because you are one of the people that I really always enjoy listening to. And I always learn something from you, Kirk. It's always a pleasure to be in your presence.
Hey, the feeling is mutual. And you know how this is without people that are in your lives that help you, that you enjoy being around. This is just not that fun. So stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. I'm going to put everything in the notes. So if you guys were listening today and you want to go back, you're like, what did he say? You're going to see, we're going to type up all the notes and you can just flip up to the notes and see all the information. Now, I'm also going to have Murph back on a regular basis. So if you have some very specific questions, feel free to add those to the chat and we'll get Murph back on. And if you have not listened to the entire series, this guy like went all in and did like these monster podcasts that literally laid out every single step. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's you're a great giver. So make sure you check that out. So thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.